This is the Talking Pictures podcast presented by the Film and Photography Society at UCLA. Today, we will be talking about David O. Russell and his new film, Amsterdam, Olivia Wilde and her new film, Don't Worry, Darling, the drama surrounding both productions, and the overall difference in female and male directors and the standards they're held to when on set and beyond. But first, a brief introduction of our hosts, their levels and areas of interest, and their study order. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Talking Pictures podcast. I'm your host, Emma Hogarth, and I am a first-year student at UCLA. I'm currently majoring in political science and minoring in film, and my films that I would say are my favorites of all time are Lady Bird, American Beauty, Almost Famous, and maybe Jojo Rabbit, just to name a few. But I love film, and I'm also very interested in the culture and industry surrounding film, which is why I'm really excited to bring to you the topic that we're talking about today, but also want to present a trigger warning. We're going to be discussing a lot of hard subjects today, including sexual assault and an abuse of power, and multiple abuses of power. So if you are someone who gets triggered easily or have been through something like that, I just want you to proceed with caution and know that we are all here for you. So, okay, well. One of the movies that I failed to mention is one of my favorites when talking about movies is Silver Linings Playbook. I will always remember seeing this movie for the first time. I was sitting on the couch with my mom and we were thinking about a movie to watch on a Saturday night. I think I was doing homework in high school. And I remember one of her favorite movies was Silver Linings Playbook. And this movie was memorable to me because I remember seeing Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper on the poster with, like, thought bubbles, or it was, like, writing on their heads, and then they were, like, their heads were, like, upside down or something, and it had a black background. In conclusion, the poster was very compelling to me, and so flipping through Netflix or Hulu or something, I remember she liked the movie, and the poster was interesting to me. So I told her to put it on, and we ended up watching it. And that ended up being one of my favorite movies of all time. I think that that would be one of the movies that I would say really catalyzed me into thinking that film was something I wanted to pursue and it being inspiring to me. The way that Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper had such a chemistry that was palpable on screen, and the writing of their easy quips and real storytelling of mental illness in America. It was so jaunting to me. First time I've ever seen it on screen, really. One of my favorite scenes in that movie is when Jennifer Lawrence's character is yelling at Bradley Cooper's character in the middle of a busy street right in front of a movie theater. And Bradley Cooper's character gets triggered because he hears the movie that him and his wife danced to at his wedding. And it's My Cherie Amour by Stevie Wonder. And the camera becomes all shaky, and it is just the most beautiful cinematography I've ever seen. And that's one of my favorite movie scenes. Now, me saying this, it's kind of hard for me to admit because we're going to talk about the director of that very scene, of that very movie's disgusting controversy, as well as the reasons why he might not be getting a lot of flack for it compared to people like Olivia Wilde and her controversies. Now, what would have been really fun for me this episode is to just share my thoughts and personifications of the whole drama surrounding Olivia Wilde, her lover, Harry Styles, famed pop star, and also one of my favorite artists, and how she called Florence Pugh Miss Flo and was going to cast Shia LaBeouf, but then said she didn't, and now everybody hates her and everything. But there is a bigger controversy about a bigger director and a movie that's just as big as Don't Worry, Darlings, that's not getting talked about. So we're going to talk about that today. So our main character, David O. Russell, who I just talked about, for Silver Linings Playbook. Who is he? Well, he has had a long-standing career in Hollywood. He has done many very critically acclaimed movies like Joy, Silver Linings Playbook, and American Hustle, just to name a few. And all of these movies, while not just having a star-studded ensemble, also get heavily praised by critics. Basically, in Hollywood, for a long time, if you were in a David O. Russell film, you definitely were going to get Oscar buzz. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence, she won her first Oscar for her performance in Silver Linings Playbook. Every actor in Hollywood wants to be in his film. But is that really worth an Academy Award if you're going against your own morals? Obviously, for a lot of these actors in Hollywood, it doesn't really matter. But we're going to talk right now about the movie that just came out that has been bringing some of his controversy to light. And that is the 2020 movie Amsterdam. Now, Amsterdam, just like his other films, has a star-studded cast. I'm talking people that I didn't even realize acted, like Taylor Swift, Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, John David Washington, Rami Malek, Anya Taylor-Joy, Michael Myers, just to name a few. That poster on Amsterdam is crazy filled. And while it might have a star-studded cast, and while you might think, wow, those are great Oscar-winning actors being a part of it, with a director who is always critically acclaimed by critics, it's obviously going to be a great movie. No. It is getting panned by critics, and it's only maybe the second week of it in the box office. And to me, this is actually the best thing that's ever happened. And so before we get into the nitty-gritty and the more triggering subjects of his allegations, I would like to take a moment and do a brief dramatic retelling of the reviews that many people have left on Letterboxd about Amsterdam. This would have been better if it was directed by Wes Anderson. Another person says, this is equivalent to sleepwalking for 2 hours. And finally, the most thrilling part of this movie was the pint of ice cream I devoured before the movie had even begun. Now you're gonna ask, what is this movie Amsterdam even about? Well, the synopsis of this movie is kind of confusing, but from what I understand, it's about three World War I veterans coming together to fight back against a conspiracy and or murder. I'm assuming it's a murder because whenever I see the trailer for it, if I see a trailer for it on TV or before a YouTube video, it's always a trailer of, I think it's Christian Bale or Timothy Olyphant pushing Taylor Swift in like a road or something and her getting run over from a car. And to me, that is the most crazy trailer you could show and makes the whole movie seem all the more confusing. So maybe these reviews aren't far off of it just being absolutely terrible. Also, while we're on the subject of Letterboxd, I would love to give myself a shameless plug. You definitely should follow me on Letterboxd at cinema on Letterboxd. So basically, you're going to look up cinema and add an extra M, and that's me on Letterboxd. I'd love to talk movies with you. Anyways, so it sucks. Amsterdam sucks. The director also sucks, and we're gonna get into why. He has a very, very long timeline of abuse. Now, this is just dating back to the 2000s, and that's where I got my source, but this abuse reportedly has gone back to the entire duration of David O. Russell's career. He is, not was, is a known abuser on set. Since the early 2000s, according to this Vulture article I read, this might ring very similar to another white man aggressor who was known to be this way in Hollywood, Harvey Weinstein. Think about Harvey Weinstein when you hear me discuss the rest of this podcast, because you're going to see a lot of similarities in the two men and the way Hollywood has treated their allegations. So one of the first and most notable allegations that he's gotten on set was George Clooney saying that he witnessed David O. Russell abusing a stuntman on set in order to quote unquote get the best work out of him George Clooney said he would never work with David O. Russell again after this performance by him, and saying that you shouldn't have to abuse people, that crew and cast on your set, in order to get the best quality from them. Another notable allegation of abuse, which isn't really an allegation, it's confirmed with video evidence. This is your time to go look up said video evidence on YouTube, of him abusing Lily Tomlin on set. I forgot what the movie it was, but on set, by throwing sets and chairs at her and getting to a screaming match. Now, I'm a big, big fan of Lily Tomlin, and I absolutely love Grace and Frankie. So this is a personal, personal attack on me. And if you mess with Lily Tomlin, you mess with me. Anyways, sorry, I'm trying to bring some lightness to what we're discussing, because I know it can be very hard for people to hear. And knowing that this is happening in Hollywood, which is where our favorite content comes from, it's hard, because as someone who ingests the content, you want to know that it comes from a place that's morally good and you can feel okay with what you're watching. But knowing that the people behind and in front of the screen are abusive is hard to hear. Amy Adams accused David O. Russell of abusing her on set of American Hustle, verbally screaming at her. She said that it was the absolute worst movie she has ever worked on, worst set, and she couldn't even take it. She mentioned that she wasn't Teflon, so she didn't get the same privilege as someone like Jennifer Lawrence, and was yelled at compared to her, which just shows how much of a toxic environment David O. Russell really is creating on set. Because not only should you obviously, as the actor and crew, believe that you're not going to get verbally assaulted or thrown things at, you also shouldn't have a environment that's comparing you to the other actors on set. As a director, you're supposed to make the actors the most comfortable they can be. And that's how you get the most comfortable, best performance out of these actors. As someone who has worked on amateur film sets, you're taught that making actors comfortable is your job as the director. And unfortunately, it seems like that sentiment has gone way over David O. Russell's head, as well as a lot of directors nowadays in Hollywood, which is very, very sad. One of the most crazy stories of abuse allegations on David O. Russell's head is a allegation of the LA Times is that at a party, David O. Russell choked out Christopher Nolan and assaulted him because Christopher Nolan was trying to cast a actor who was already in a David O. Russell production. This is insane. The image in my head, and I'm sure everyone else that's listening to this is head, of two grown men, famous Hollywood directors, getting into a physical altercation at a Hollywood party. That seems unbelievable. But just picture it. Tiny David O. Russell choking out Dunkirk-famed Christopher Nolan. Finally, we are going to get into the most triggering of the allegations. So, trigger warning for those that are listening. Christopher Nolan was accused by his niece, who was 19 at the time, accused him of touching her genitals and assaulting her while at the gym in 2011. Now, not only was the niece 19 at the time, she is also transgender. This allegation is not just an allegation, however. It was actually confirmed by David O. Russell to the police when they questioned him about the case. However, it was dropped due to, quote-unquote, not enough significant evidence and not enough people who were witnesses, which is the most disgusting thing, because the person who did the act admitted to doing it and still did not get charged. This thing that happened in 2012. He has still been working in Hollywood, not only being a known verbally abusive director, but also a known sexual assaulter. And he still is backed by Hollywood executives and
prominent actors and actresses are still in his films. It's disgusting. I mean, decades and decades of abuse, and someone who's in the culture of movies such as myself didn't even know about it until a couple months ago. It shows that if there's someone who's powerful in Hollywood, they will have people around them that will cover their abuse and help them get farther because it makes more money. So now we're going to enter the secondary character in this whole podcast, and that is Olivia Wilde. Many of you may know her from the show House. Some may know her, as being the girlfriend of Ted Lasso actor Jason Sudeikis, and some may know her as the director of the critically acclaimed and amazing movie, mind I add, Booksmarts, starring Beanie Feldstein and Caitlin Dever. I love that movie, and I will always love that movie. She has been very, very prominent in the media lately because of the drama surrounding her second film, Don't Worry, Darling, starring Florence Pugh and Harry Styles. Now, a lot of you may know the drama, so I don't think I have to go through the entire thing, but basically, Harry Styles was casted after supposedly Shia LaBeouf dropped out, but then Olivia said that he didn't drop out, he fired her, but then Shia LaBeouf came back and said, actually, I quit, and then released videos of Olivia, and then also Olivia is sleeping with Harry Styles and cheated on Jason Sudeikis, and then also called Florence Pugh Miss Flo, and then somehow Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine. There is a lot of drama surrounding this production. But not only is there drama, there is significant media coverage. And this media coverage comes with bounce of hate for Olivia Wilde. I mean, if you go on Twitter and you look up Olivia Wilde, there's a lot of hate surrounding her. And it's not just from the crazy Harry Styles fans. And I can say that because I am a very gigantic fan of Harry Styles. It's from people from all over the internet, the industry, saying that she's unprofessional and sexist, all this stuff. Yes, that might be true. I too think it's very unprofessional to be sleeping with your actors, and conduct on set is very important for a director, and it seems like she might have been more interested in what was going on with her personal life than the movie. And if you've seen Don't Worry, Darling, you can tell that there's a lot to be desired with that movie. Very half-baked, a lot of things that could have been addressed more in the film that seem unfinished. And that might just be because Olivia, the director and writer, was focusing on the things in her personal life. Who knows? But what we do know is she is a very prominent director, but is also getting all the hate. Now, why am I mentioning Olivia Wilde in the scope of David O. Russell? Well, Amsterdam and Don't Worry, Darling were both coming out at the very same time. And while Olivia Wilde is suffering backlash after backlash, all the drama on her set and questioning of her character and her acting as a director, there has been virtually, crickets when it comes to David O. Russell's allegations, his misconduct on set. People just aren't talking about it, especially compared to how they're talking about Olivia. Now, why is this? Well, we know that there's definitely a systemic gender inequality in the film industry. I mean, female directors, they do not get treated the same that male directors do. Let's just be real. There's only been six now after Chloe Zhao. Six female directors who have ever been nominated for Best Director, two who've ever won. And there's many amazing films directed by women. Being a woman in the industry is hard. And so you're going to get backlash, especially more compared to your male counterpart. I think both of these directors here, Olivia and David, have their own reasons to get criticized. Just because I'm saying that people need to criticize David O. Russell more does not mean that I believe that they should take away the criticism from Olivia Wilde, because that criticism for her is valid. But I believe that both people and all people who are in the industry and beyond should be held to the same moral standard. It shouldn't change just because one director has been in the industry for decades while the second is her first or second film. It shouldn't change just because one is a woman and one is a man. They should be held to the same moral standard and get the same criticism where it is garnered.
Does Hollywood excuse bad behavior is a question that I think is on a lot of people's minds, given what we're talking about today. Yes, it does. Remember when I mentioned Harvey Weinstein? Well, David O. Russell and Harvey Weinstein come from the same coin. Powerful man who has Hollywood in their back pocket. Their behavior could be excused and basically punishment obsolete because they are powerful. They have money. Amsterdam came out this year, and I'm sure, unfortunately, David O. Russell will get more producers backing his projects in the future. But I think that we can actually do something to change that. And maybe we already have, given the fact that the movie plunged at the box office. I don't know if that's because it was a bad movie or because of him being a bad person or both. Hopefully, it's just all of that, and honestly, it doesn't really matter as long as he just doesn't get money. But anyways, this is the same Hollywood that excuses the bad behavior of people like Woody Allen, who, up until recently, has been still making films. I actually think he still has a movie coming out. Roman Polanski, another person who Hollywood backed because he's powerful, even with abusive allegations. So let's think about this. What do we say to people like Taylor Swift or Christian Bale or Margot Robbie? The fact that they were in Amsterdam in 2022, knowing the allegations, do we let it slide? Or do we open a conversation to these actors and actresses about what is okay to star in as a project? If this person is a bad person, do you have to put the art away from the artist? Does money and fame and Oscar nominations justify being a bad person and basically supporting a terrible criminal? Who's to say? But I know my opinion on that. And I know that if I was in their seat, I wouldn't do this. Margot Robbie, she was in Bombshell 2 years ago, which is about the sexual assault allegations surrounding Fox News. And she played that character about that and then proceeds to star in Amsterdam. It's hard to see that actors and actresses and people like Taylor Swift, Timothée Chalamet, that you really like, could support and be a part of projects with people that are awful. So that's why I'm saying we need to start an open conversation about this abuse, especially right now about it surrounding David O. Russell. We can't be complicit as audience members and allow powerful, abusive people to get away with it, to just keep on making projects or to fade into the void and not suffer any consequences. I mean, Amsterdam is set to lose $100 million or something at the box office. Thank God. But we need to keep that going. Please do not support the movie financially. And also, really look into the people that you are supporting, whether they're actors, actresses, directors, and see if they have done something that disgusts you. Because as audience members, it's our duty to make sure the content that we are ingesting is made in good faith and the people behind it are morally good people. I think that that is one of the most powerful positions that we have as audience members. So let's keep this conversation open and remember, while you're ingesting the drama about Olivia Wilde and stuff, think about the people that might be flying under the radar. And let's open that conversation too. If you really want to see a movie this weekend or next weekend, don't see Amsterdam. Go see La La Crocodile. I mean, that movie's out too. Can't be that bad. Thank you so, so much for listening with me. And I'm so glad that I was able to give my 2 cents on this subject. And thanks.
This episode of the Talking Pictures podcast, presented by the Film and Photography Society at UCLA, was hosted by Emma Hogarth. It was produced and edited by Andrew Chung Lee. Thank you so, so much for listening, and we hope that you join us on the next one. Bye.